a priority's worst enemy. A priority's worst enemy. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read a few verses. We're going to start in verse 38. Are you with me? Are you excited? Amen. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Say amen when you have it. The Bible says this. Now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard all of his words. But Martha was distracted. Someone say distracted. With much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Come on, somebody who's ever been there, who has siblings. Tell her to help me, she said. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good thing which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to calm my spirit. Allow me to minister the word exactly how you gave it to me. I ask that you would help us, Father, to remove all distractions from our lives. Help us to be focused on you, especially in the last days. Let us be focused on the right things. Help us to prioritize our lives so that we can be effective, not only with our families, but within the calling of God upon our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you. We dedicate this message to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about distractions. Because when you look at what the definition of a priority is rendered the thing that is most important to you. So a priority is whatever we deem is most important. Now, last week we talked about priorities, and we talked about how priorities are not what we say is important. Priorities are what we live out. Because someone can say, God is my priority, and not wake up in the morning, or can go throughout their entire day, never pray and never read their word. They say that God is the priority, hence their everyday life doesn't live up to what they say. So priorities have to be lived out. Priorities have to be focused on. I am convinced that in living in the last days, there are many people, the Bible says even in Timothy, that in the last days, many will stray away. And many will go and listen to what their itching ears want to hear. We're living in a day and age where people don't want to hear the truth. We're living in a day and age where most people come to church because they want to feel good. But how many know that sometimes when you come to church, the messages that you hear aren't always going to feel good? Because the Word of God, if preached accurately and preached honestly, should convict our hearts and cause us to change. And this is why the Bible says that we should no longer copy the patterns of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How does that happen? When we effectively listen to the Word of God and allow it to enter into our heart, do a rearranging and changing of our perspective, and we live different. That's what God wants to do in this day and in this age. Why is that so important? Well, because in order to have the Spirit of God upon your life, or in order to walk in the power of God, we have to be people that walk a specific walk. Because God's anointing, which is also His Spirit that He puts on people that are dedicated to fulfilling His will, is not cheap. And that comes from seeking Him in prayer, seeking Him in the Word. And I am convinced that today there are a lot of people that are pursuing many different things. But let that not be said of the people in this church. Amen. You know, I was reading a story of a time when in the Soviet Union there was a lot of petty theft. And one of their leaders, his name was Nikita Khrushchev. He used to tell of a time when there was a lot of petty thefts all throughout the Soviet Union. And what he did to try to correct the problem, he set up guards on every corner. And in front of every major factory, he set up guards because he wanted to prevent these petty thefts from happening. And one day, at one specific sawmill, there was a man that knew all of the employees. And every day there was a man that would come off, his last name was Petrovich, and he would come out with a wheelbarrow with a bunch of sawdust. Or actually, no, the story goes that he would come out with the wheelbarrow. And the guard would say, "Hey, Petrovich, what do you got in that sack?" Petrovich would say, "I just some sawdust and some shavings." He goes, "Listen, I wasn't born yesterday. Dump out the sawdust, dump out the shavings." So he went and he dumped out the sack, and sure enough, it was sawdust and shavings. And he said, "All right, Petrovich, pick up the sawdust, go ahead and put it back in the wheelbarrow and get out of here." Now, this continued for a number of weeks. So then finally, the guard's curiosity got the best of him, and he said, "Petrovich, I know you. You're crooked. Something's wrong with you. You're not doing something right. Just tell me what you're stealing. Tell me what you're smuggling out of here, and I'll let you go." Petrovich laughed at him and said, "I'm just stealing wheelbarrows, brother. I'm just stealing wheelbarrows." The guard was so distracted. The moral of the story is he was so distracted on the sawdust, he didn't even notice that every day for a number of weeks, wheelbarrows were being stolen. See, this morning, I want to talk to you about the little distractions in life that can cause you to miss the call of God upon your life. We're living in a day and age where I think a lot of people realize that there is a God. And we're living in a time where people are searching for the truth. And in that searching, there are a lot of people that have committed their lives to walking a right walk with God. The problem becomes that they become distracted, and the enemy knows how to bring distractions into our lives to keep us from what we're supposed to be doing. When you look at the story that we read of two ladies. One, the Bible says Martha had invited Jesus into her home. And the Bible tells us that she was distracted with much serving. I don't know if you've ever thrown a party, or if you've ever invited a lot of people to your home, or maybe you hosted a get-together. But if you have, you know that sometimes the preparing for that party can be very stressful. Just kind of wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Married couple, say amen. Amen. Hurry up, you gotta hurry up, right? When we have people over, all of a sudden we have to do all kinds, we gotta clean up. We gotta prepare, right? We gotta clean the areas we don't normally clean. Come on, somebody. We wanna make sure everything is perfect. We wanna make sure we present our best foot forward. And in the process of wanting to host people, sometimes we can get frustrated or so distracted with the preparations that we take the joy away from the actual event. There have been times we have been setting up for our son's birthday party, and instead of focusing on him, we're fighting because everyone's going to be here in a half hour. Come on, somebody. Come on, married couples. Just nod at me. You know what I'm talking about. This was the case with Martha, because Martha had invited Jesus and the disciples over to her house. Now, she wanted to put her best foot forward, and the Bible tells us that she was preparing and serving. But the Bible says that in her serving, she was distracted. Now, let me tell you what the definition of what it means to be distracted, because there's a lot of important depth and information that I think will apply to our lives. The definition of to be distracted means this. It means to be divided, diverted, or separated. It means to be overly occupied or physically pulled or dragged away. And the distraction process is when a person's attention is taken away from what they originally intended to do. Have you ever set out to do something, and right when you tried to focus, for whatever reason, you thought of everything that needed to happen at the house? Yeah. Right? You needed to focus. But all of a sudden, you had a chore list of everything you didn't do. This especially happens when you make a decision, man. You know what? This morning, I'm going to get up and pray. All of a sudden, the phone goes off. Hello? You get 5 notifications. Hello? All of a sudden, well, I'm going to pray, but just let me check who called real quick. And before you know it, you're checking your texts, and before long, you're on Facebook. Come on, somebody. And then, oh, man, I got to get to work. And then prayer doesn't even happen. Who's ever been there? Come on, somebody. We set out to do things, yet we get distracted with little details of life. And this was the case of Martha. Martha had invited Almighty God into her home, and in her serving, Martha was ultimately distracted from noticing God's presence. In the midst of preparing for him, she lost sight of the fact that Almighty God was right before her. Sometimes, similar to Martha, you and I can be so busy in life, so wanting to do good, so focused on certain things, that we fail to miss the opportunity to be in God's presence. This even applies for people in the church. Sometimes when we're serving in the church, if we're not careful and if Jesus isn't the center of our priority, if Jesus isn't where we gain our strength from, we can serve in ministry and completely miss the Holy Spirit. Martha was not doing anything bad. The problem was, her serving took the focus away from what was her priority. Her priority should have been Jesus. Her priority should have been sitting at the Master's feet. Remember what a priority is, something that is regarded as most important. In this case, Jesus should have been most important. But instead of focusing on the Lord, what did she focus? She focused on everything else. You got to be careful for the distractions that the enemy would try to bring into your life. Because one of the schemes of the enemy is to try to distract you or divert your attention from what God has called you to do. We got to look for these things. He is cunning. He is sly. He will do everything in his power to divert your attention. Now, you got to understand, some of you men, your call, I mean, all of us, we all have a certain call. There's something specific that God has designed for you to do. There's something you're supposed to do for God's honor and God's glory. But you have to be careful that in your pursuit of God, you don't allow the little things to divert you from your target. This is where I've learned to do gut checks. I learned to not only pray, but once a week, listen to me, once a week, I pray a specific prayer. God, have I been doing what you want me to do? God, am I preaching the right message? God, am I allocating my time the way I should be? God, am I submitting to your process? See, this prayer isn't about what I need. This prayer isn't about everyone else. This prayer is an obedient prayer. This is a prayer that says, God, I need to make you my priority. And in focusing on living a life that pleases you, I need to know that I'm doing everything right. I need to know that I'm not distracted with everything else. I need to know that I'm spending the time the way you intended me to so that I can be effective in 2016. See, I want to encourage you this morning to implement that in your week. Every week, you should take time to ask God, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to? You would be surprised when you pray that type of a prayer, the type of conviction that'll come upon your life. God will begin to show you all the distractions, everything that we've allowed into our heart, everything we've given our mind to. Maybe we're watching too much TV. Maybe we're surfing the internet. Maybe we're spending too much idle time with just friends. And God says, friends are good, but why not make sure that you're building or make sure that you're edifying your spirit? See, I want to make sure that in this church, I believe in relationships. I believe, but you got to be careful in who you hang around with. Tell me who you hang around with, and I'll tell you who you are. Because sooner than later, when you hang out with somebody long enough, you start talking like them. You start taking on the same perspective. But we need to be people that we make sure that we spread our time out correctly. This is what Jesus did. Just look at the Bible. The Bible says, if you look at how he worked with his disciples, there was 3, there was 12, there was a 70, and then there was 120. He prioritized his time based on who he was investing his life into. Listen, we have to be very purposeful with everything that we do. Why? Because last week we talked about you got to live circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise. Why? Because the days are evil. And there are a lot of people, they don't understand that the times are evil. All they see is that my little house has a white picket fence. I got a dog named Spot, and everything's going good with the wife. Therefore, life is good. Oblivious that our children, that our families are falling apart. But listen, I'm talking about being so sensitive to the presence of God that when we go to the liquor store to buy, come on somebody, Tic Tacs, hello, that we see somebody hurt. Come on somebody. When we go to Winco, come on somebody, and we get our fill up and we see a lady struggling that needs to hear some hope or encouragement, that we're willing to drop what we're doing. Who cares if we got the kid? Let's teach the kids. Hey, baby, listen, we're going to go and we're going to go talk to this lady, and I want you to tell her Jesus loves you. Come on somebody. Sometimes we're so distracted with everything going on around us, or we've scheduled our time so well throughout the week, we have distracted ourselves from what God wants to do. There are some people, they have such a tight schedule, they don't allow God to shift the schedule around. I was taught that based on my priorities, certain things sometimes have to shift or play. You have to play with your schedule. There's some people, they're not willing to do that with God. They said, no, God, this is my time to go to the gym. No, God, this is my time to, come on, somebody. I'm not saying you can't do those things. I believe in those things. But what I'm trying to say is, don't put so much emphasis on what you want to do that you lose sight of the fact where God's trying to take you. Are you getting some? They normally say when they're quiet, they either don't like you or they're listening. I hope you're listening. The devil has many ways he will try to tempt us and lead us astray or simply delay our interest. Listen to me. If he can't get you distracted, what he'll do is he'll delay your interest on being obedient to the will of God. There are some people, they think that God's just going to wait for them. But listen, if God has called you, and if there's a city with your name on it, and God's called you to go in 2018, 2017, and if we're over here lollygagging around, wasting our time, God will not wait on man to meet a need. God won't wait on man to save a soul. And I have seen it time and time again when there was men that should have gone out to pastor. There was men that should have been preaching the gospel. There was men that should have directed our home. There was men that should have done great things for God. But because they were so distracted on life, they missed God's opportunity. There were women who should be leading right now. There are ladies right now. You should be discipling other ladies. You should be teaching them to preach the word of God. You should have a Bible study. Come on, somebody. You should be training young ladies how to get through, break through, and stay holy. Come on, somebody. Some of you men, listen, you've been through some stuff. It's not time to just come to church and, man, I've been through some stuff, so now things are going good. Finally, the dust settles. No, you got to roll up your sleeves. You got to find a young man in the church that is willing to listen. Pour your life into him. Teach them everything you went through so they don't got to go through what we went through. I'm talking about being careful with life. Watching for the godly opportunities so we could step in. You know, I've learned that there is no man or woman that's more important than the other. The difference is their sensitivity to God, their willingness to change, and willingness to move when God asks them. People that move in obedience without question usually do great things for God. Those that are distracted or those that put a box around God and say, God, I will do this, or conditions, God, I'll do this if the time is right, then I'll go. Thank you, sir. It's painfully clear that we live in a world full of distractions. Full of distractions. One of the biggest reasons many people miss the call of God upon their life is because they're distracted. And I want to give you five areas. Now, there's a lot of areas where you can get distracted. But when I look at today, and listen, I need you to know that God spoke to me first So I was going through it. Hello. So some of the things that I'm going to mention are things that have distracted me. As Brother Nikhil would say, don't judge me. But these are things you got to be careful for because they will demand your time. And one of the things I found out, when something's truly a priority, sometimes you got to cut certain activities in order for you to advance. But catch this. If you cut it today, the Bible says, put ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. So guess what? You cut it today, you walk with God, God will give you double for your trouble. Come on, somebody. Number one. One of the biggest areas that people get distracted, media and entertainment. When you study distractions or psychology, you will find that most distractions are habits based and set off by emotional triggers. Most people who get distracted, it's normally linked to a habit or an emotional trigger. For instance, watching television is a huge distraction many people engage themselves in. When people get bored, they turn on the television. In this case, boredom is the emotional trigger and television is the habit or distraction. There are some people, for example, they have low self-esteem, or maybe their world is falling apart. And in the day and age that we live in, they don't know how to handle their issues. So what do? They go to substances like alcohol or drugs. Therefore, because they have things inside or needs that are not met, they try to cope with alcohol or they try to cope with things. Now, what does this have to do with media and entertainment? Well, media and entertainment has a lot to do with self-gratification, feeding what our hearts desires. Social media takes from us every day. Did you know that the average person, watch this, checks their cell phone 150 times a day? The Lord convicted me on that. And one of the things I'm going to speak to all the leaders in this church, and told me accountable too, but do it with tact. Come on, somebody. Some people want to hold the pastor accountable. I thought you said. And I'm like, brother, come on, bro. I'm human. Don't mess with God's anointed. Hello. Be cool, man. I'm trying. Hello. People are like that. One of the things that I want to be careful with, when you have a conversation with somebody, put your phone away. There's nothing more disrespectful. Listen, I've done it. And if I've done it to you, I want to apologize. But the Lord was speaking and ministering to me. What was a distraction? When you're divided or physically drug away. And if somebody is hurting and I am distracted with my cell phone, or who's ever had a conversation with someone on the phone, and nowadays the smartphones, they're smart. What can you do? Put it on the home screen, open Facebook and look at it while they're talking. They're pouring out your heart to you. You're bored, not sensitive to what they're going through, and all along their need is not getting met. God called you to be the gap in the wall for their life. God called you to give them encouragement. But because you were distracted and failed to be sensitive to their need, you missed it all in all. Too early? Listen, if you belong to this church and God raises you to be up to be a leader, be a person that focuses on people. Don't focus on your priorities. Sometimes we have ministries and immediately we have to go and we got to do things and people are broken at the altar and those needs aren't being met because we're so focused on doing other things. People's needs aren't getting met. The average American watches 37 to 40 hours of TV a week. Catch this. Social media has become one of the biggest addictions in the entire world. The average 15 and 19 year old spends 2 to 3 hours every day on Facebook. Grown-ups are not that much different. They spend 2 to 2.5 hours on Facebook every single day. Let us not be people that are distracted in other people's business. Half of the gossip that happens in the church was found on Facebook. Hello. Guard yourself from gossip. And understand this about gossip. The Bible says there are 7 abominations of the Lord. Check this. At the end of the list of the 7 abominations, what does he say? He said, there's one that I hate above all of these, a gossip. Therefore, elevating gossip to even greater than all the 7 abominations. Stay off Facebook. You can be on Facebook. I'm not going to be rigid. Come on, somebody. Just don't get in people's business. Hello. Number two, something that could really focus you, distract you from your focus of God, trials. Trials. Trials have a way of distracting us and weakening our faith. When you go through tough times, there's nothing that will attack your faith more than when you go through tough times. Listen, I want to encourage you that know this, no matter what you're going through today, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although your world may be falling apart, I need you to understand this. God doesn't change. Your situation might change. Your emotions may be falling apart, but your God is steady and steadfast. Therefore, nothing you go through can separate you from the love of God, nor demon in hell, nor trial, nor nothing you go through can take or kill your faith. I feel that there's somebody here, you've been struggling and you're thinking of throwing the towel. I came here to remind you what Hebrews 10:35 says. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which was a great reward, for you have need of endurance now, so that there are things that God will do in your life and you may receive your promise after you have endured. Listen, baby, I know you've been going through some things, but you hold on to Jesus. You keep focused. Although everything's falling apart, you trust God, God's going to come through for you. That promise he gave you of your children years ago is going to come to pass. Listen, mama, you keep praying. You keep tugging away. You keep every day. Make it part of your lifestyle. You pray for your children. One day they're going to be preaching the gospel. I am a product of a praying mother. I am a product of a praying aunt. I remember I didn't want to follow God, but I was willing because why? There was a woman who used to pray for me. I'll never forget, I was already walking with God. It's been about a year, and I was like, man, this church thing isn't for me. And my mama was a praying mama, and I remember it was about 10:30 at night. I got ready, hello somebody, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm ready to leave. She said, mijo, don't go. I said, mom. She said, don't go. I said, mom, just, I'm going to be all right, don't go. I left 10:30 that night. I walked in at about 2:30 in the morning. I walked into sounds of someone yelling. And when I got closer to the door, I heard prayers like, Father, you've called him. I know that you've called him to preach the gospel. I need you to protect my son. She began to get louder. Something inside of me never stayed the same. Because it was a praying mother. Fathers, it's your job to pray for your children. Don't let prayer in the house be the mother's responsibility. It's my prayer that the men in this church would lead in all areas, not because we have ego issues, but because the Bible says we as the men should be the priest of our households. We should be the priests of our house. We should step forth. Listen, we need to take charge of our church. We need to teach the men now that prayer is what we do when we don't know what we have an answer. We don't wing it. We don't try to give our wit, but we show them when we don't know what to do, we call on the one that does. Number three, moving along quickly. A career and the pursuit of money can distract you from the call of God. Mark 4:19 says this, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires from other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, there are some of you, you hear the word of God preached, and inside of you, there is a tugging of your spirit, like you know that he's called you. But sometimes the worries of this world and the deceit of riches grips your heart. You start focusing on all the things that you need when God says, put me first. There are some that maybe you're not in struggle, but you like nice things. We come, a lot of our people, the people that we reach, we come from backgrounds where we didn't have much. Therefore, we do everything in our power to make sure our kids have what we didn't have. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. That's not a bad thing. I believe God wants us to have nice things. When it becomes a problem is when it becomes a distraction in your life. When you're working overtime, when you're missing church because you got to pay bills because you paid for something that you didn't really have cash for and you swiped it on a credit card. Hello, somebody. We're talking about priorities this month. We got to be people that check our priorities. Instead of buying your children stuff, listen, spend time with them. Don't give them the tablet. Don't put on the cartoon because you're frustrated and you need a timeout. We got to be people that are present. My wife tells me that all the time. Honey, be present. We got to be people that learn to be present, because the day will come where you might not have your family. And because of Facebook, because of the pursuit of wealth, when they're gone, we will live in regret. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon was a spirit of wealth that people pursue. Don't be that person. Understand its place. I believe God wants you to be blessed, but do it the right way. Learn to give to God. Learn to be a channel of blessing. God will give it to he who can get it through. Not for us to build our own, you know, our own empires. Haggai talks about that, and I'll be talking about that next week. The Bible talks about in Haggai, you build your own homes, but my house lays in ruin. Let that not be said of Victory Outreach Tacoma. Let us be people that have our sights. You know, I believe we should have bifocal lenses. You guys know what bifocal lenses are? They're the reading glasses that have the line. Bifocals allow you to look down and read and focus on something that's close. But when you lift your eyes, it allows you to see far. It's my prayer that this church, listen to me, we would have bifocal vision. In other words, we look down and that's the local. Local, our local vision, listen to me, it's to reach Pierce County for Jesus. Locally, I want to send out a church to Olympia. Locally, I want to send a church out to Parkland. Locally, I want to send another Victory Outreach church to the Hilltop. Come on, somebody. We got to get over to Puyallup. Come on, somebody. We got to make sure that we plant Bible studies in every area of Pierce County. That is the local vision. But when we lift our eyes, let us be a church that sees the world. This month we're going to be talking about United We Can. And United We Can is one of our visions to send finances to the four corners of the world. Listen, this ministry, the ministry that you belong to, we believe in world evangelism. We have over 400 churches worldwide. Anywhere in the world, you think about it, we're doing it. The same thing that we're doing here, somebody's doing over in Africa. Someone's doing in Indonesia. Someone's doing in Manchester. Come on, somebody. Some of you, you're not going to stay here. I want to listen to me. Listen to me. Those of you who have a heart to disciple people, you might not ever go. That's okay, because we need builders in the house. If you ever go, all you got to do is one of these days try to take a pass. Go to the military base. And when you drive around, you will see different training stations. It's my prayer that spiritually this church would be a launching pad, a training facility where missionaries come to get trained, where pastors are raised up, where people learn to disciple, where we send out youth leaders and we send out children's workers to the four parts of the world. Some of you aren't going to stay here very long. I believe in my spirit. God's going to raise you up. Some of you are going to go to Cape Town, South Africa. There are some of you, one day you're going to say, Pastor, there is a city with my heart on it. I need to go. You're going to be like Caleb. I have been faithful and I have never let you down. Now give me that mountain. And I'm okay with that. Just be obedient. Come on, somebody. Number four, moving quickly. I got two more things. You give me 5 more minutes. Come on, somebody. Relationships. Relationships will distract you. This goes back to who you hang around with. I have certain friends that I love with all my heart, but I can't hang out with them more than a half hour. Real deal. I'll go and have a bite to eat with them, and that's the only reason it lasts a half hour, because half the time they're eating and they're not cussing. Some friends I can't hang out with past 5 minutes. Because there's a standard. I'm not too good for them, but I'm not just going to allow them to talk the way that they want around me and think it's okay. Some of the people we hang around with suck the life out of us. And instead of being an encouragement, you know what happens? we go down to their level. Or we say, you know what, Pastor, I got to go reach them. So I know this is where we live, but in order for me to, I got to go down here. Listen, I believe in going into the worst parts of this city. I believe in that. I have no problem going to some of the roughest neighborhoods. I'm not afraid of the gospel. But I will not compromise my integrity. I will not compromise my beliefs for the sake of saving a soul. I will stick. Now listen to me, and you got to catch this. You got to be a person of standard, because if not, you'll settle for anything. What is the standard that you set in your house, Mom? What's the standard that you set in your house, Dad? Do you allow your children to talk about other kids in the house? Do you allow them to gossip about people you don't know? Sometimes we don't think of these things, but those are the things we're allowing into our house. What are you allowing your children to watch? I screen the cartoons nowadays. Those of you who have Netflix, those of you who have Amazon Prime, you got to stream what your kids are watching. You got to watch it first. You're like, oh, it's cute, Umi Zumi or whatever it is. Come on, somebody who knows what I'm talking about. Paw Patrol, hello. The things that they put on there nowadays, you got to be careful. For those of you who are single, be careful. Be very careful. Listen, young lady, if God has the anointing of God upon your life, be very careful. Because there is a sly man that will come in and sweep you off your feet. Listen, young man. If God has called you, you got to protect your anointing. Song of Solomon 8:4 says this, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it is time. I know I got some single guys in the home. I got some single leaders that we're raising up. Come on, somebody. Be very careful. You ought to pray and seek counsel. Come to your pastors. Learn to be accountable. Hey, listen, I like this girl, or I like this boy. Learn to be accountable. If you try to do it on your own, listen to me, there's no covering over your life. And if God has called you and you have listened to the gospel, I hate to tell you, but now you know the truth. Therefore, you can't live anywhere any other way. Therefore, you should seek the covering of God upon your life. Now, if you come and ask me, is she the one? I'm going to be like, brother, that's your call. Don't put that on me. You pray. You ask God. I'm going to tell you what I see. I'm going to give you advice. Now, be very careful if you bring it to me, because I, you know, just like Jesus, I might tell you, yes, no, wait. When I dated my wife, I was a single man. I was so busy for God. I remember Pastor Tim told me this. He said, be so busy for God that God literally has to stop you in your tracks and say, stop, son. You can't go any higher. You need her now. I remember I was so busy for God. I wasn't focused on a relationship. One day I was looking down and lo and behold, I seen her. Come on, somebody. I was like, honey. No, I didn't go anything like that at all. Inside, hey, she said hi to me. I was like, Mr. Magoo. Years later, I still feel like that, baby. Come on. I had two fears in life. One is to go to hell. The second was to marry the wrong person. I know God called me. And I have seen so many men, so many women marry the wrong person. That's not to say God can't turn things around. But sometimes we're so stubborn and set in our ways because of self-gratification. Listen to me. One of my fears was waking up one morning, turning around, and realizing I'm laying next to somebody I don't love. Don't awaken love before it's time. Real quick, back to my story. It didn't happen like that. I didn't come off all pimp daddy. She'll tell you, honest truth, she'll tell you. She said hi to me. And I'm a very confident guy. There's I'll never be a lack for words. But I looked at her, and I seen the godliness on her. I seen the anointing on her. I shook her hand. I said, hi, you're Jessica. I had met her before. And from that moment on, we went out with all the young adults. She'll tell you this as a testimony. I didn't look at her one time all night. We had numerous conversations, but I looked straight. Why? Because, guys, you know what it's like when you like somebody. Is that? If I would have looked at her, I don't think I would have. I didn't look at her. She'll tell you, all night. We talked about the Lord. We talked, and I was afraid to approach her. But I knew that that was going to be my wife. There was an anointing of God upon her life. And you know when I knew? When she protected my testimony. As a man of God, she was willing to cover me. Moving along. Lastly, and I'll end with this. Brother Alec, you can come up. Ministry can distract you from the call of God. Sometimes we can be so involved in ministry, we lose sight of the fact of why we began to minister in the first place. The Bible said Martha was distracted with much serving. Catch this. That word serving, when you translate it in the Greek, it's a Greek word called diakonia. You know what diakonia means? This type of serving was not just serving tables. This word meant ministering. She was preparing to minister to the needs of Jesus. She was learning to meet the needs of other people and keep God the center. But in her ministering to Jesus, she got distracted. Understand this about ministry. Ministry can be draining. Working with people can be draining. You got to go to the feet of Jesus. You got to make sure you draw strength and you're not giving good wit or good wisdom. You got to make sure that you have the mind of God when you counsel people. And we know when she was distracted, she became frustrated. There are some of you, you're so distracted, you're frustrated in your call right now. We know this because listen to Martha's phrase. In her distraction, she even disrespected Jesus. Think about this. This is what she said. Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do the work by myself? Exclamation mark. Tell her to help me. She lost sight of the fact of who was there. Almighty God. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing. Understand this. Mary, the Bible says, sat at the feet of the Lord. Now, this acknowledged not her posture. When the Bible says she sat at the feet of the Lord, it wasn't talking about her posture. He wasn't talking about that she was sitting literally at his feet. It was talking about the posture of her heart. Because in ancient times, when someone stood at the feet of a teacher, it explained a special discipleship relationship. The word sitting at someone's feet was an expression of a relationship between a disciple and a rabbi. The intent of the disciple in Bible times was to become like his teacher. To sit at someone's feet meant to be a student, to be a disciple. And we know this because it says in Acts 22, Saul of Tarsus sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and Mary took this posture when she seen the Father. The posture of her heart said, no matter what's going on around me, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I feel, He's here. And I have to touch His presence. I have to allow Him to comfort my spirit. I need Him to fill me up so that I can minister effectively. I was hurt in ministry. They talked about me. They didn't pay attention to me. My pastor didn't notice me. Or maybe you gave your all and people walked out on you. Listen, you go to the feet of Jesus. You let Him renew your strength. Some of you got to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? By going to prayer. When you don't understand, when you don't see eye to eye with somebody, go to the feet of Jesus. Find His presence. And sometimes you're going to have to battle because distractions are real. Mary was aware of God's presence. There are some people, they are so distracted and lost in their own world, they are unaware and oblivious to God's presence. I read this quote and I thought it was impactful. It says, the main obstacle that keeps people from re-entering into his presence, distraction. Distraction is our priority's worst enemy. I end with this scripture. Revelations 2:4. I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And I believe that there are some of you, there are certain things that have been distracting you from the call of God. God wants you to know I have you in the palm of my hand, and everything you're going through, I know. And it's time to let him work it out. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed.